If you haven't been here, I had quadruple bypass surgery 8 weeks ago, last Thursday. 8 weeks ago. And God is doing an amazing, amazing thing. He already has done an amazing, amazing thing. And today's message is the third of messages that he just poured into me before they ever cut me open. This was while most of this was really while I was still in Youngstown. I was in Youngstown for 6 days and moved to Cleveland on that sixth day and didn't have surgery for five more days. So all these, the Lord's ministering to me this entire time and just speaking things, downloading things into me. It's been a joy to be able to relay these things. And this one's called The Collaterals. And, you know, you're thinking, what the heck are you talking about today? And we have this diagram. I have the collaterals designed by the master, and I'm going to explain this. But before I explain it, I'm going to look at this verse, because this verse goes hand in hand with the picture I'm going to show you. This is something I've personally experienced. This verse is something I've personally experienced, again, long before they even cut me open to do surgery. And it's just simply this passage from Ephesians. And this follows the passage where Paul says, you know, I'm praying for you all to grasp the love of Jesus, and, you know, our whole rooted and established in love is in the previous passage. And he's saying, I want you to grasp the love of Jesus, basically. And then he closes this chapter with this: to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I want you to think about that for a minute. His power is at work in you. His power, it's not, if it's your own power, it's not going to be sustainable. If it's your own power, it's going to carry you only so far. But it's his power, he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church, that's in us, that's his people, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I ask you this question before I get to my little diagram, and I asked this question in our Men of Valor class last week, and I want you to write it down, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to just contemplate some answers. I want you to consider, what is one immeasurably more? Put quotes around that. Just what is one immeasurably more that he's done in your life? More than you could think or imagine, ask or imagine. What's come up with something? Think of something. Just, they don't have to shout about it or anything now. I want you to contemplate that this week. What's one immeasurably more that God has done for you that goes beyond anything you could ask or imagine? And so I'm going to go back to my little diagram. So I had my heart cath, my heart catheterization on June 14th in Youngstown, and as I said, Derek Petticord, who's sitting over here, was in there for my heart cath, and they knew pretty quickly that I had severe blockages in my heart that was going to require surgery. And so one of the things they told me, though, and I can't remember at what point, I think it was still, I was still in the cath lab when it was revealed to me that my body had created its own bypasses, and they were referred to as collaterals. And this picture, there's two different pictures here. This shows collaterals that have opened up and have connected so that the blood can continue to flow. This picture shows collaterals that have not opened up, and so there's a block. There's no way for the blood to get through. And so this has fascinated me ever since I heard it, first of all. It just fascinated me. I had no idea there was such a thing. But I saw my cardiologist this week, and so I'm quizzing them. I said, tell me about collaterals. I want to know more about collaterals. I want to know about them. And The first person I saw was an intern who actually I had seen several times in the hospital. And so she said, actually, and this is the first I'd heard this, she said, actually, we are all born with collaterals. We are all born with these extra little veins. They're all there. They're all there, supposedly, in all of us. But they don't all get activated. They don't all get activated, and they're still studying all the reasons why. I want to be a case study for that. I was like, please, I want to know exactly when did mine kick in? Like when did my collaterals start opening up and then connecting so that the blood could go through so that I didn't die? Because they told me I could have died. They said I should, you know, given as active as I am, I should have died, but my collaterals kicked in. And so that's one of my questions. I really want to know about this. I want to know about this. But I look at this picture, and I look at this verse, because to me that's just a perfect example of Jesus, of having a relationship with Jesus, and because I have a relationship with him, he did immeasurably more. He did immeasurably more long before I could ever have known there was even a problem. According to his power working in my body, all for his glory. All for his glory. Now, what's interesting about this, because I want to know why or when these kicked in. I don't know. I did a little bit of reading on it this week. I'll just give you a definition of what collaterals. Tiny specialized blood vessels that connect the larger vessels in the heart. They can be thought of as the heart's backup system, as they are essentially invisible until activated when they enlarge the diameters to carry significant blood flow and bypass blockages. One doctor said, we know that regular physical activity can improve the natural bypass networks. The backup system is better developed in some patients. They don't know all the reasons why. And then the doctor says, our study adds weight to the increasing evidence that we should be focusing more on our efforts on identifying how we can better develop natural bypass vessels, which I think is really cool. So anyway, I know, and I think actually it was Sean that pointed this out. I don't know. I think right after they diagnosed me that I had a problem. But he was reminded I wish I could remember exactly when this started, but it was about 3, maybe 4 years ago. And I've shared this a few times here where it was a period of time where the Holy Spirit gave me very specific instructions to run every single day. Every single day. For a year and a half, I ran every single day. And I talked about that. I talked about how sometimes it was actually painful, not to my heart necessarily, but just you know, I was at this point 59, 58, 60 years old. I can't remember exactly the time frame, but I would have been in my late 50s when I started doing that. And I remember I would tell my doctor at my physical. I said, you know, well, running's a little more tiring than it used to be. But I'm doing it every day, and he was like, "Well, you're, you know, 59 years old. You know, the fact that you're actually doing it is a, you know, that's good. But you know, your body's going to have a response to that." So at that point, we had no idea whether anything was wrong. We, you know, I never had a symptom leading up to my heart cath that I knew of, and so. But I look back and I think, huh. Were you doing something, Lord, through that everyday running in my heart because you knew what was coming? I mean, I have no idea. I wish I could tell you, yeah, that did it. I wish somebody could point to that and say, yes, on this particular date, we know this is when those opened up. Nobody can tell me. But God is good. God is good. God is good. And I know that when I was done running for a year and a half and I was kind of happy when I got that kind of release, like, because I was tired, but I also knew I needed to keep exercising. So instead, I did insanity workouts 6 days a week. But they were shorter, and I can't say that I did these under any sort of instruction from the Holy Spirit. I just knew I was, you know, compelled to keep on exercising. I wasn't going to just stop exercising because I'd grown tired of running. But it was a reminder to me. So I'm in the hospital, and I'm getting all this information about, I'm getting, hearing about collaterals for the first time. And then I'm looking at these pictures more recently, and man, do I see in these pictures, and this is part of the message that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me during this time, is that when you are a follower of Jesus, when you are engaged with Him, and I'm not talking about some passing passive relationship. I'm talking about when you're engaged with Jesus, and because that's what He's calling us to. So this isn't just talking about church people, because there's lots of church people that are not engaging with Jesus. And I believe church people who aren't engaging with Jesus are missing out on so many collaterals. There are so many collaterals in the kingdom of God, in kingdom living, in following Jesus, in digging in with Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, not letting your soul get shy on you. And again, we led that to worship when I talked about the Let the Lion Roar 2 weeks ago. When we recognize the King is in the room, which I talked about last week, He's in the room all the time, and we recognize and acknowledge that when we engage with that kind of a Savior routinely, every day, the collaterals He brings to our life. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think, that's why I asked the question, what's one immeasurably more that He's brought to you that you had no idea was part of the equation of following Jesus? Yes, we know about salvation. That's awesome, the promise of eternity. Yes, we know about forgiveness of sins. That's awesome. That's wonderful. I'm grateful for these basic foundational elements of following Jesus. But man, when we dig in with Him, and we live for Him, and we breathe for Him, and we live and move and have our being in Him every single day, He brings things. He brings things that are, I don't know, I call them extras. They're the immeasurably mores that we can't ever quantify until we begin to experience them. And I believe part of that is within the body of Christ, and only within the body of Christ. Only people in the body of Christ can tap into these sort of extras that Jesus brings, that relationship with Him brings. And so we're going to look at just a really simple, familiar passage from 1 Corinthians, and it talks about being engaged in the body of Christ. So we know these verses. We've taught these verses. We emphasize these verses a lot. We put a high premium on our relationships with one another because of these verses, because we recognize that together we're a force to be reckoned with. Apart, we're weak. Apart, we're vulnerable. Apart, we're prone to our own ways. But together, we say it over and over in our Men of Valor group on Wednesday nights, our men's Men of Valor group, that we're here to shore one another up. We're iron sharpening iron. It's become our mantra in there, that we're sharpening one another. And so that's what these verses talk about. Just as a body, though, one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, only the Holy Spirit. We're all given the Holy Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now I look at that, I look at this passage, and I go back to my picture, and I just look at all the little extra veins, and I look at this and I think, okay, and again, this was part of my experience. This was part of what my reality was. So, you know, I'm set apart from you guys for a while. You know, I set apart for you guys for a while. But there was no lack of knowing that you guys were praying for me, pouring into me, the messages, and it was like, okay, this was my heart, my physical heart, but I had blockages that were physical, but I was in a vulnerable state because I was apart from my people. I was apart from you all. But you guys were all these little extra vessels. And these extra vessels, every one of you were carrying me through. Were carrying me through. And I'm here to say that this picture is a picture of what the body of Christ is supposed to look like when it's functioning at its ultimate, where somebody has a problem, somebody has something blocking their way. Maybe it's a crisis going on in their life. Maybe it's a grief. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a whatever it is. But when we're the body of Christ functioning as that body, each one doing its part, as that scripture says, there's connectivity that leads to flow. When you're using your gifts, it's interesting because, again, the medical part of it says, until they get activated, they're there. But until they get activated, they're dormant. They're not useful. But one of the reasons we love to come together in small groups and study and fellowship and activities, whatever it is because our gifts get stirred up. Our gifts get stirred up, and when our gifts get stirred up and we start using them, we start functioning as that unit, that one body, there are bypasses after bypasses after bypasses that are taking place for the greater good, for the greater good. But individuals also benefit, because if Karen's got a problem, if she's got an issue, and she already knows this and she does it, she taps into her sisters. I got an issue. I need reinforcement. I need reinforcement. And until she's able to kind of get back on her own, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're not able. Sometimes we don't have the strength. But when we tap in, because we're plugged in, there are collaterals in the body of Christ that carry you through, that if you didn't have, you could get stuck. You could get stuck. Where things just stop. Right here. Things just stop. Anybody here ever experienced that in your walk, where things just sort of seem like they stopped? And there's no condemnation if that's the case. We all have ups and downs. But the key, tap in. There are collaterals, again, in the body of Christ that are available only in the body of Christ. No other place. Only in Christ, only when we're connected to Him, and then we function together as this unit, where we can't say, I don't need you. I discovered, see, this is the probably the first time in my life where I've had a physical need, where I couldn't do things, where I had to sit back for a while. I'm not a good sitter backer. But I knew I had no other choice. I had no other choice. And what I watched, and I've said this over and over again, I watched this body just step in. Just step in. Step in. I'm going to talk more about this next week, about specifics where some of you guys did things. Next week's message may have some tears. It's the title will be Sometimes It Hurts to Cry. But it's also one of those benefits we have in the body of Christ that I believe as abundant life we put a premium on. We put a premium on it. If you haven't been here very long or have never been here before, we put a premium on building our relationships with one another because we recognize we are an army. We are an army. And when we're an army, again, living and functioning as we're supposed to function according to Scripture, according to God's plan for us, we are forced to be reckoned with in this world, in this culture. I don't mean that in any way like attention gets called to us, but what I do mean is that we get to call attention to the power of Jesus and the value of relationship with Him, but also relationship with one another under His leadership, under His sovereignty, under His authority. Because that's the only way it works. It's the only way it works. So plugging in. Connecting, again, value to that over and over and over again. I've been benefiting over these last 8 weeks from the collaterals of just being connected to the body of Christ. I have witnessed, oh my goodness, I could go around this room, and I'm not going to do that, I could, but I'm not going to do that, or I could point to people in this room, as they tapped in, they received something in this body that they probably didn't know they were going to receive until they stepped into it. And I could identify a whole lot of very specific things, but I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I don't know why I suddenly chose to do that today, where I'm not going to put you on the spot because I do it other times. But I don't know. But I'm not going to do that. Plus, I don't want to leave anybody out. There's so many examples of people here that. You know, that as you got plugged in and connected, you received something. And I want you to identify some things. But if you don't have any, I have some, you know, that you can come to me personally. I'll tell you what you benefited from. Because they're all over the place. When I came to Jesus at 20 years old in college, you know, I didn't know what I was investing in. I knew that I immediately had a sense of that I belonged to something. I knew that something had taken place when I said, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior, and now you're going to direct my path. That was Proverbs 3:5-6. I knew that there was something tangible about that was changing. But I had no idea. It really wasn't until Connie and I planted here at Abundant Life in the mid-1980s that we began to realize the value of deep, deep, connections with one another. When you're committing to Jesus, you still have your choice of whether to connect with one another or not. Everybody has that choice. We would never say you can't come here if you don't connect with the whole body. But my question is, why wouldn't you want to? Because the collaterals, the things that you cannot quantify, that you cannot put a value until you begin to experience them, are too numerous to mention. So, I don't know what that is. Okay. There's another verse up here, I think. Oh yeah, Ephesians 4. I think it's up there. I think I just passed by. Yeah, there we go. So in Ephesians 4, we have this, again, this is a very familiar passage. Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. So you know, one of my tasks here as a pastor, those of you who function in other of these ministry gifts, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, to do what? To equip y'all. To equip you all, that we're all functioning the way we're supposed to function, says until the body of Christ is built up. Well, for what reason? Just to say, oh, the body of Christ is built up? No, so that we can affect the world, so we can affect those who are watching, so we can make a difference in this life. The whole measure, attaining the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there. Again, one of the goals is to get people planted. We're planted, we're connected so that there's flow, from one vessel to another, and there's a response. Not blown by here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. It's a lot of people stuck in that place. There's a lot of people stuck in that where they're blown here, they're blown there, they're listen to this. Oh, that sounds good. When it's rooted in Scripture, it will always be true. When it's rooted in Scripture, it will not change. It will be foundational. And so we're not blown here and there by every wind of teaching. We know what the Word says, and we're going to live it. We're going to follow it. We're going to teach it. We're going to encourage it. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Boy, look at that picture again. I'm not going to put it up there again. But look at that picture again with all those little vessels just connecting to one another. And it's brought a whole new reality to me, connecting that verse, that picture, that what every supporting ligament As each does its part, figuring out your part is part of the secret, I suppose. But you can't do it isolated. You can't do it on your own. There's times for isolation. Clearly, I was isolated for a while. But as each part does its work, as each part contributes, as each part brings its gifts, as each part cares for one another, supporting ligaments are those vessels that, let's use the example, as Holy Spirit is flowing, as Holy Spirit is ascending, as Holy Spirit is extending your reach. You know, you look at those vessels, you know, they reach and they reach and they reach and they reach until they connect with something else. And that was part of this equation that I had no idea. Collaterals. The collaterals. What are the collaterals? What are the collaterals that you can identify? And they can be something really, really practical. I think sometimes we over-spiritualize everything about Scripture. There are things in Scripture that are really, really practical. Work hard, it says. Work hard. It's practical. There's value to working hard. As each does its part. I got a text yesterday from somebody, and they were just giving a kind of a testimony of both some struggles they were going through, but also just how God was working in the middle of the struggles. And part of that text was an encouragement to read a passage of Scripture, Psalm 34, and the instruction was to read this from the Passion Version. And so I did that. And as I read it, and I just read it this morning, I didn't do it yesterday. As I did it, man, what did it tie to this? what did it tie to this message? Psalm 34, and I'm going to read most of it. Lord, I'm bursting. This is Psalm 34 from the Passion Version. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. I will praise you again and again and again and again and again and again. I'm boasting of you and all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. If you're in this room today and you're discouraged, take heart. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. Let the lion roar. Let the lion roar. Let's make him famous. Listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Gaze upon him. Join your life with his, and joy will come. Collateral. Your faces will glisten with glory. You will never wear that shame face again. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me, bringing his miracle, deliverance, when I needed it most. The angel of Yahweh stooped down to listen as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. There's a passage about that. In your time of temptation, look for him. He'll show you the way out. Scriptures tell us. He will do this for everyone who fears God. He will do this for everyone who fears God. He will do this for everyone who fears God. Verse 8 says this, drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Drink deeply. I don't know about you. I don't want to settle for surface stuff. I want the deep things. I'm still pursuing the deep things. And he is so eager to comply. He's so eager to show. He's so eager to reveal when we press in to him. Drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. Are you hidden in him today? Are you hidden in him? Are you wrapped up in him? Are you wrapped up in him? Or is it some sort of maybe once in a while. I mean, I love him. I love him. And I'm okay. I'm okay. Don't miss out on the collaterals. Don't miss out on the collaterals. Verse 9, worship in awe and wonder all who've been made holy. For all who fear him will feast with plenty. And I'm not talking about material stuff, although that can be part of the equation. But no. His blessings and the things he pours into us as we commit to him, as we dig into him, as we drink deeply of his pleasures, his response is more than enough. It's immeasurable. The immeasurably more that he does. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Collateral after collateral after collateral from following Jesus doesn't mean we're free of troubles or trials or difficulties. That's not part of that equation. We go through things. We suffer. Jesus suffered. We're going to suffer at times. But in the middle of it all, there's more than enough. That verse 11, come, children of God, and listen to me. I'll share the lesson I've learned of fearing the Lord. Do you want to live a long, good life? Enjoy the beauty that fills each day? Then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. The Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. But the Lord has made up his mind to oppose evildoers and to wipe out even the memory of them from the face of the earth. That's coming at some point. Yet when holy lovers of God cry out, when holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain, and he is always ready to restore the repentant one. He is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. God will be your bodyguard to protect you when trouble is near. Not one bone will be broken. Collaterals. Collaterals. Doesn't mean we don't have troubles at times. Doesn't mean we don't go through difficulties. But as I said from way back when, but as recently as last week and the day before I went for my heart cath, whatever we have to go through, it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. I've said this over and over and over again in my life long before I ever had quadruple bypass surgery, that if God never did another thing for me in my life, he's done more than enough. If he never did another thing. But see, I have a relationship with him, so he's still going to work. He's still going to do stuff. He never stops. He never stops working. We sing that. I view it as a collateral that I got to have Derek in my procedure with me. That was a collateral. That was a blessing of God to get a phone call the night before I'm going in for a procedure. It says, hey, I can be assigned to your case if you'd like me to be. That's a collateral. Only God can set up these things. We've taught for years John 17, Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer before he's leaving the earth. And I don't have it up here or anything, but it relates to this, the work of the body of Christ, where he's praying for two different groups of people. First of all, he's praying for the disciples. So he's praying for us. And part of his prayer was, let them be one. Let them function as one. Let them be one so that the people who are watching them, the people who are watching them, will believe my message. Will believe my message. Will believe that I love them. Will believe that I care for them. Just by watching us. Just by watching us. It's one of those collaterals in the body that as we're functioning, all different, all with different gifts, all with different backgrounds, all with different stories. But somehow, when we come together and function, somebody who's watching is like, how does that work? How does that work? Because we're all here for the same reason, to bring glory to God. Because we've learned to deny ourselves. Because we've learned to tap into his supernatural resource that enables us to throw off our own selves, to throw off our flesh, and function as a unit. And then that second part of that prayer is, I'm praying also for those who will believe through their message. So I'm praying for those lost people out there who see this body functioning as one. It's a collateral in the body of Christ that when we function that way, he's going to use that. He's going to use that to show somebody who's watching, to show somebody that doesn't know Jesus yet what it looks like to follow him. That's our mandate. That's why he's telling us in 2021, set yourselves apart with me. set yourselves apart to me with for me, because I'm going to use your set apartness, your time alone with me, your allowing me to work things into you, your throwing things off that stop the flow, that block the flow. I'm going to work those things, but it'll be for my glory. It'll be for my glory. But it's why he's giving us these words over and over and over again. I don't know what all's unfolding in the world, but it is a mess. It is a mess out there. And if our hope isn't in Jesus, if you're not letting the lion roar, if you're not letting your lion roar, start today. Start today. I don't know why. I don't know all the reasons why I get to stand here. And others don't. I don't know all the reasons why my physical collaterals kicked in and others did not. I can't answer that question. But I know, because I'm standing here, because I have breath, and I can lift up to 50 pounds now, in my cardio class on Friday, they said, "Slow down, Jeff!" And I was like, "Why?" And they said, "Because you're going too fast." And I said, Your heart rate's going up. I was like, isn't it supposed to? Isn't that why we're here? And they're like, yeah, but slow down. Like, okay. I don't know why. I don't know why I have this opportunity, but I tell you what, I'm going to take full advantage of it. I am not going to keep quiet. I'm not going to keep quiet about the goodness of our God. I'm not going to keep quiet about the mandate that he has on us to separate ourselves, not from the world. I don't mean that. Our mission is in the world. But to separate ourselves from worldly stuff, from worldly passions, from worldly desires, and then go into that world and tell about Jesus. Model about Jesus. Next Sunday, we have a car show here. And you may think, well, what? There's nothing inherently spiritual about a car show, which is absolutely right. But you know what? We have heard over the years, those car guys, those car people love to come to our car show. I don't know what all the reasons are, but one of the things I hope is part of that response and part of that answer is that we model some genuine love and care. That they see something in the way we function with one another, as John 17 says, that says, I want to go back there. I'm going to go back to that show. It's enjoyable. It's pleasurable. It's uplifting. I don't know what all the reasons might be. But anytime we get to do something like that, we just had August Overflow. Lots of people on the property where we get to function as a body and we get to care for people. We're going to be at the street fair in Columbiana passing out stuff. I have all kinds of little goodies ordered to give out that say rooted and established in love. Next month, Shane's going to resume Fifth quarter. Fifth quarter is something we did quite a few years ago now. When I first came on as pastor, we opened up our gymnasium after Crestview home football games. And we said, come on in. It's where we met Shane. Isn't that interesting? Shane showed up at Fifth Quarter. And now he's one of our pastors. Anytime we get to do something, we get to model what it looks like to follow Jesus. We get to model collaterals that people may not even realize what it is. I'm just discovering what they are physically. But I've been experiencing spiritually what they are without ever putting that name on them. Because God is good. Because God is good. The subtitle of this message, Designed by the Master. Designed by the Master. The physical part of our bodies. I mean, can you imagine that we're all born with a backup system? Well, in Jesus, there are more. He's the only way. There's no backup system to heaven. There's no backup system to eternal life. There's no backup system. But within the confines of this relationship, there are so many areas of ebb and flow and ebb and flow and ebb and flow, and your weak will carry you. You're strong, you'll carry us. I was thinking, I'm not going to give the specifics of this example, but I'm going to give a generalized idea of an example of a collateral. We have a young couple who had a need of somebody's services, somebody in the body who had an answer to a specific need in the body. And that answer, the person who had the answer, was somebody pretty new here. Pretty new here, who was able to offer a service to a family that had a very specific need. And I looked at that when it first happened. I was like, oh God, you're so good. You're so good to be able to connect these two families with one another in a way that brings a practical result to a problem that they didn't know how to solve. But then in the context of this, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that is an example of a very real collateral that happens as both families, sorry, I didn't mean to spew. As both families plugged into the body, plugged into Jesus, plugged into the body, and an answer to a problem gets resolved. I have said over and over and over again, I believe whatever your problem, the answer is there's an answer. Somebody has an answer for you. Somebody has an answer. That's why plugging in and tapping in. See, we don't know that when we're not tapped in. We don't know that when we're not plugged in. We miss out on so many collaterals by being separated. By half-hearted commitment, by satisfying whatever other pleasures there are. I'm not talking about, you know, having fun in life. My grandson says over and over again, my grandson was saying this morning as we're up here, have fun, have fun, have fun. Everything's about having fun. He's like, absolutely, worship is fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Let's stand. I forgot to bring this with me today. When I had my heart cath, I think I may have told you about this, but I'm going to bring it. I'm going to show it to you at some point. But I forgot today. But Derek knew that when I initially had my heart cath, that I was a little bit upset, and I was determined I was going on vacation that week, and so he. after his shift that day, he came up to my room, and he had drawn a little picture on a napkin of my heart. And he was like, okay, this one looks pretty good, but this has a severe blockage, and this has a severe blockage, and he signed it. I was like, I'm going to keep this forever. And we talked a little bit about collaterals and just the whole experience of that day. But that's just one of those little mementos. It's one of those little mementos that I'm going to keep forever of a collateral in the form of a person. In the form of a person. And I will say it over and over again. I believe we have so many collaterals in one another that for whatever reason we don't tap into. Maybe it's fear of vulnerability. Maybe it's fear of, if they get to know me, they won't like me. Or they'll see the flaws, they'll see my weaknesses. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. And Jesus, it is worth it. Because he has bigger and better in store when we're tapped into one another than when we're fragmented and apart. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the ways you use everyday things of life. The ways you use a heart procedure. The ways you use one another's words, words of encouragement, words of challenge. Lord, I thank you for all the extra things that you bring to our lives every single day that go beyond the promise of eternity. Eternity's awesome. That go beyond the promise of peace of mind. That go beyond the extravagant love you demonstrate. And are just part of the picture of following you that we get to be beneficiaries of. And it's hard to quantify them all. But I thank you that part of your plan in this is connecting us with one another. Is that connectivity just like those veins in the heart, those vessels in the heart were connected to one another. They were connected. And when they were connected and functioning properly and fully, there was such a flow. There was such a flow, and I'm convinced that in your body, that when we're connected properly and functioning properly, there is such a flow in your body. There is such a flow of your Holy Spirit, one to another, to another, to another, out into the world, out into the culture, where someone notices there's something different. There's something different about that place. There's something different about that person. There's something different about the way they function. And we can point it all to you and say, Jesus does that. Only Jesus does that. I pray this day for this people today that you will show them collaterals. You will show them collaterals of being part of the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege we have to praise you again and again, to throw up our hands and praise you again and again. I pray that as we close out this time in worship, that you will minister as only you can do. That you will minister personally to hearts, to minds, to bodies. It'll all be for your glory.